Oh, I think it was a very it went over very well. That's the point. But I mean, it's true. The AI community has always talked about, that's actually an interesting observation. They've always talked about there being low-level vision, intermediate-level vision, and high-level vision. Low-level vision is what we call here image analysis. High-level vision is when you've already got it into some sort of a symbolic representation, so you can reason about it. And no one ever gets that far, so to speak. In other words, well, I'll come back to that in a second. And so intermediate level vision grew and grew and grew, because all the recovery stuff and so on got to be called intermediate level vision, because it's clearly not high level. We're still dealing with numeric data. Yet it's far above the old two-dimensional image analysis, so they called it intermediate level vision. The truth is, what they were complaining about in those days, they called the neck of the hourglass phenomenon. You have all these bits, all these bytes in the two-dimensional signals, and then in the other half of the hourglass, you have combinatorial search problems in trying to figure out what is going on here on a symbolic manipulation point of view. So you're going to run into all sorts of search paradigms for trying to understand the scene contents. But the neck of the hourglass was somehow you have to take the vast amounts of numeric data and map it into a symbolic representation for the first time, after which you can go to town trying to make sense out of the symbolic representation. And the trouble has always been, this begs the question, because if you could correctly map it, then you've already solved the problem. In other words, segmentation is meaningful in terms of the scene. We're trying, and that's very hard. What everyone always says, always has said, is how about top-down, given that you have some idea of what's out there, can you use that knowledge to control the image analysis processes? So some of the early work at MIT was designed to do just that sort of thing. If you know that what you're analyzing is a blocks world image, then you don't just go looking for edges in the image. You go looking for edges that hook up together into line drawings that could be perspective projections of polyhedral objects, which means you have a lot of knowledge of what constrains what the images could look like. So early work by various people, some names that come to mind were Shirai, who is now at Osaka University. He was at MIT for a couple of years. Griffith, I don't know whatever happened to him, but he was one of the early MIT PhDs. A number of people looked seriously at how to use knowledge about the blocks world to go in and control the analysis of the image. What you really want, and what nobody has produced, is a front end that starts producing chunks of possible meaningful stuff in the image, which immediately get transferred somewhere where they trigger hypotheses about what might be there. What has not been done is anything as fancy as that. I wrote a paper 10 years ago called Recognizing Unexpected Objects. The point of the paper was something like this. If I showed you a slideshow in which the slides had no connection with one another whatsoever, they're just slides that I've collected in my career. So the first slide is the Eiffel Tower, and the next slide is an octopus. I mean, those were the two examples I kept using. So the point is, they have very little to do with one another. It wouldn't take you more than 3 seconds to recognize the Eiffel Tower and 3 seconds to recognize the octopus. Now, you have thousands of models stored in your head, including familiar objects like the Eiffel Tower and, I guess, familiar classes of objects like octopi. Somehow or other, you managed to fish in and invoked. You thought of the word octopus 3 seconds after the light hit your eye. It's called the 100-cycle challenge. How many neural events could have taken place from the time your retinal receptor cells were activated until you thought of the word octopus on some other side of your brain? And the answer is, if it only takes 2 or 3 seconds, there's only time for 100 neuron firings, meaning that somehow waves of information are going through your head, ending up in the activation of the word octopus over on the vocabulary side. Truly amazing, Right? That is a kind of behavior that no one has come close to attempting to implement. How do you map from the pictures to the names? And of course, that's a simplified way of saying it. A fancier way of saying it is, how do you extract fragments from the pictures which are distinctive enough that they trigger object hypotheses, but not all possible object hypotheses? That's the catch, not all possible. So you need to somehow know why octopus tentacles are not easily confused with doorknobs or something like that, so that you don't think of cats and dogs when you see an octopus, you think of an octopus. What are the primitives that are sufficient for indexing into your database of object models? Children acquire the ability to recognize objects, you know, literally almost every hour, because when a child learns to talk, a child has a limited vocabulary, you show him a book, maybe he can tell whether it's a pussycat or a doggy. By the time the kid is 12 years old, he knows the names of on the order of 10,000 different objects. And how do I know that? Well, you can count the entries in a picture dictionary. And there are, you know, 10,000 different pictures, all of which have different names, and a reasonably educated eighth grader can recognize them correctly. So how did we manage to learn to tell octopi from typewriters? Well, we evidently learned objects at a tremendous rate. I mean, actually, it appears that we're pretty good at doing this at certain ages. Probably if you had an adult with a blindfold and then you restored his sight at age 25, he would have a lot of trouble learning to recognize 10,000 objects. So the brain is doing it in a very developmental way, yes. But we in the computer vision business have never dreamt of implementing anything as powerful as that. So the computer vision systems of the next century are still faced with this kind of challenge. Have I talked enough?